I think last year we took time to discuss the beginning of Yom Kippur, the ideas that one's supposed to be focusing on in Kol Nidre, ideas of taking a proper Kabbadus, the ideas that a Talmud Chacham knows one a lot better than one knows oneself sometimes, the concept of bringing the Klal of Nadorim, the idea of Kol Nidre. I'd like to this year discuss the last part of Yom Kippur, Ne'ilah. Ne'ilah is not just another time of the year. Ne'ilah is not something that can be easily overlooked. It's not something that can be overlooked. In fact, the Mishnah Berurah very rarely brings Musa, and it's really from the Mata Ephraim, and the Mata Ephraim means a Loshon. He says, "Umedina Seinu." He says, "Yeah." Ubemalkish Derech Alchochem Leim Adivrei Kavushim." The Derech for Alchochem to say words of Musa. Ulo'er Leiv Ha'om Shechavnu Liban Avim Shvashamayim. And to encourage people to have their hearts closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu, ki hu minag v'sikin, it's an old minag. Ki al roiv, because generally, machmas chulshas ha-tainis v'yefus, because of the weakness of the tainis and the tiredness, nirpim ha'om mitfilas ne'ila, u'kumasa kovid yechba mehem. That people become weakened, people become more tired, and people become less focused. V'amaskil be'esahu, and a person who is wise will bring these people back to Tshuva Shleima. I'm skipping out a little bit, and he says, the climax, as it were, of Seres Mei Tshuva's Yom HaKippurim, and the Tachlis of Yom Kippur is Ne'ila. Everything goes according to the Chitum, everything goes according to the signing. In other words, Ne'ila is something which Lamaisa, if we get it right, it can change our lives around, and lives of our family around, and lives maybe of Klal Yisrael around. If we get it wrong, and we don't use this time, who knows how much we will regret this in the future. And therefore I'd like to focus on Ne'ila. I'd like to focus on as well the feeling that different people have during Ne'ila, and how we can work with that feeling. See what I mean? You know, I'm not going to the technicalities of Hilchus Ne'ila. I'm not even going to the concepts of Musa behind Ne'ila. There's certain elements of Ne'ila that people feel if they've been davening the entire day. And we have to identify carefully, what are those feelings? Are they feelings of relief? Ah, Baruch Hashem, got rid of Yom Kippur. You know, they're happy. Is it a feeling of happiness? Is it a feeling of you're coming out of the shower? That, oh, really fresh for me. What are those feelings? And it's important to identify various of those feelings, and therefore to work with them and to emphasize why we're feeling them, and therefore how we're supposed to maximize the potential of that time to work with those feelings in the correct way. There's a very, very interesting, there's a well-known story by the Chotkova. The Chotkova Rebbe once came, a chassid once came to him on Erev Shabbos, and he said, Rebbe, my son is about to be drafted into the army. And on Sunday morning, we have an appointment with the doctor, or the army doctor, and, you know, and we've got a way of forging, pretending something will happen, that, you know, pretending their child is more ill than he actually is, or pretending he has an ailment he doesn't really have. I need a bracha from you, Rebbe, that should be successful, that this doctor should pull off what we need so that we should get out of the army. So Rebbe says, listen, it's Erev Shabbos now. I've got a lot to do. Come back to me Friday night after the Tish. Okay. After the Tish, there's Gavaldiga Tish, there's singing, there was dancing, there was food, it was fantastic. After the Tish, the man comes and repeats the same story over to the Rebbe, my son. He's about to go to the army, who knows what's going to happen. You know, this is dangerous with Gashmias and Ruchnias. You're going to go to a doctor, the doctor's going to maybe, we're going to sort of pretend something, the doctor hopefully will forge the documents and hopefully we'll get through. Give me a bracha, it should be successful. Rebbe said, you know, I'm very, very tired now. Come back to me tomorrow after Shacharis. And Again, he asks the Rebbe for a bracha. He says exactly the same story over and over again. And again, the Rebbe says, you know what, I'm very tired. Come back to me just before Shalosh Shuvos. Before Rav and the Rav, and they're not feeling in a good mood. Come back to me then. Comes back to him, Shalosh Shuvos. Again, he says over the same story, my son is going to go to the army, and who knows what's going to happen. Ruchin and Gashmias, we need a bracha from your Rebbe, he's going to the doctor. Same story exactly over again, verbatim. He comes, Motzei Shabbos, the Rebbe says, listen, I can't. Motzei Shabbos comes to me, you know, I'll sort it out then. Fine, then I'm not going to push it off again. Motzei Shabbos comes to me. Comes in Motzei Shabbos, and already the Chassidim have never seen the Rebbe do this before. Give him a bracha, the poor guy needs a bracha. Give him a bracha, Gesundheit, what's the problem? Give him a bracha. The Rebbe says, tell me a story again, and he says the same story he heard on Friday afternoon, the same story he heard on Shabbos morning, the same story he heard on Shabbos afternoon. The Rebbe stands up and he says, get out of here! You cheat, you liar! How dare you come and say to me that you want your child to be taken out of the army to be forged? You have to be
presumptuous?
You've got to be a loyal servant to the king! How dare you try and get out of the army? How dare you forge anything? Get out of my court, never want to see you again! And this man ran out of the court, you know, people chased him out. He said, Rebbe, what are you talking about? The man, he said, this man is a forgery. This man is set up by the government to see if I am the one who's willing to give brochas to get these people out of the army. They wanted to test my loyalty to the king and loyalty to the country. This man is a forgery. This man is a cheat. He doesn't have a son. He's an absolute liar. He said, Rebbe, what are you talking about? Why not? How do you know? He said, because he said the same story over 5 times in the same tone. If a father is pushed away by the Rebbe, if he's pushed away and he sees not getting bracha the first time, and the second time he comes with a little bit more desperation. And he comes the second time, the third time, even more desperation. Eventually he comes and cries, Rebbe, please, do something. To say the same story over and over and over again, the guy's a forgery, the guy's a cheat. We're coming to Ribbono Shel Olam. And in saying Ribbono Shel Olam, we need Ruchnius and Gashmius. We are a cheat. We are a forgery. If we can go through the entire Yom Kippur and come with the same tones, with the same implications, the same Bakoshas of Ribbono Shel Olam all the way through. There's a certain peak, there's a certain stage by Ne'ilah, or the desperation. The desperation, our whole Gashmius falls apart. Our whole body breaks up. Our tiredness dissipates. Our sluggishness, our laziness of coming to Ribbono Shel Olam falls away. Im loy achshav emasai, if not now, when? And the litmus paper test to see if you're really being an El Chiyid, if you're really asking Kosh what you need, is the kind of tone you are and the kind of tone you daven by doing Ne'ilah. If you are saying Hashem Elokim with a completely different kind of intensity that you would have said the day earlier, that means you are really being serious. You know you're doing great. Okay? So one idea is the fact that we are reaching this stage of such intensity by Ne'ilah is poshut understanding more than we understood the day before. It's connecting with Ribbono Shel Olam and the desperation of coming, wanting to be close to Ribbono Shel Olam. That's one feeling we have. I want to develop that. There's a very interesting halacha, especially applies this year, and that is we do not say Avinu Malkeinu on Shabbos. Yeah, Avinu Malkeinu doesn't say it on Shabbos, don't say it on the night Mariv, we don't say it Shachris, we don't say it Mincha, and Erev Shabbos we don't say it. So we don't say it Bechlal on Shabbos besides Ne'ilah. Ne'ilah we say Avinu Malkeinu, and oh, we make up for it. You know, it's a little bit foreshkeh, we have Avinu Malkeinu, you know, to stretch the time out. But that's just a real time. The shaila is, why do we say Avinu Malkeinu on Ne'ilah, not the rest of Shabbos? So the Magen Avraham talks about it in Tofrei Shchof Gimel. He brings a Beis Yosef, and Beis Yosef brings some various Rishonim that's even mutter to say Avinu Malkeinu on Shabbos. Nice, we don't pasken that way. And the Meila, he says, when it comes to Ne'ilah, we pasken according to those Mekidim who allow us to say Avinu Malkeinu on Shabbos, because im loy achshav emasai, if not now, when? Now this is, you know, we're desperate here. We're looking for any kind of a kula to just go to Ribbono Shel Olam and beg him for our life. This is b'koach nefesh. B'koach nefesh. And therefore, we'll have to do Avinu Malkeinu. But I want to suggest another teretz. I want to suggest another reason why we're allowed to say Avinu Malkeinu during Ne'ilah. And I want to introduce you to two beautiful Moshonim from Dubna Maggid. The Dubna Maggid, in his Ne'ilah Drasha, get the following Moshel. There was one man who owned a inn. And this man was supposed to be paying taxes to the governor of the city. And he was negligent in doing so. And time passed, week turned into month, month turned into year, and the man was years late in his taxes. Years late. And the governor called him in, and the governor said, "Listen, I'm just telling you, I've let you off all this time, I've been very, very benevolent, I've been very, very patient, but the time has come to pay your taxes. If you don't pay your taxes in a very short period of time, I'm very sorry, I've got to take you to jail." The man ignored the warnings, and he was taken, not into a jail, but to a pit in the middle of the governor's garden. There's a deep pit, very, very deep. It was dark, it was musky, it had no air inside there, there had no sunlight at all. It was absolutely terrible. When it rained, the rain came in. When it was hot, the sun made the earth very hot. It was unbearable. The smell in there, the stench in there was terrible. There's no sewage, there's no plumbing. The food was just thrown down, and the man turned animalistic. He turned into an animal. And he didn't have the finance. What are you supposed to do? A week again, day turned into another day, into another day, and this man, his beard started growing wild, and his eyes started getting into his... And Nebuch, this man was suffering. The Kehillah negotiated with the governor that at least during Yom HaNoraim, for the 40 days during Yom HaNoraim, this man should be taken out, and they will pay a small amount of money, a small knas. This man should be taken out from the pit, and he should be able to live a normal life. And afterwards, you do whatever you want to do. So one bright, sunny day, the man gets a rope thrown down, and he says, "Hold on to this rope, we're going to schlep you up." And he comes up for the first time, the fresh air, the sweet smell of the flowers, and the sweet fresh air, and they got the sun. And he's allowed. He said, "What's going on?" He says, "Allowed for the next 40 days. You have Yom HaNoraim. We've negotiated your release. You can go home." The man was ecstatic. He went home. He had the first meal he's had for goodness knows how long—a decent meal. He sat down on a proper chair, and he had a shower for the first time in months. And he had a decent meal. After that meal, he went down and he lay on his bed, a proper comfortable bed, and he covered himself with a cover. It was unbelievable. Next day, he went for a walk. He was a free man. He went for a walk. And of course he learnt, and of course he davened. And day passed very, very quickly. One day after the other, he was really enjoying himself. He was enjoying the freedom. And he started getting healthier again. He looked healthier. He was healthier. And then Yom Kippur came. And he suddenly occurred to him that as soon as the shofar blows, as Yom Kippur leaves, the governors are going to hear this shofar. They're going to know it's a sign that Yom HaNoraim are over. He's going to be taken back and put into this pit. Can you imagine the crying? Can you imagine the desperation? Can you imagine the pleading that this man has to Rebbe Yishan to save him from this pit? To save him, finally help Rebbe Yishan, give me panos, Rebbe Yishan, save me, do something that I don't have to go back into this misery. That I don't have to go back to this filthy, dirty hole. That I can enjoy life a little bit. I can actually start living again. The neshama is Nebuch put into a guf. And what does a guf feed in the neshama? Darkness. There's no light, there's no air. And his poor neshama is desperate for a bit of life. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulls him out for 40 days. And Baruch Hu says to the neshama, "For these 40 days, you can live your life. You can come close to me. I'm close to you." And the neshama starts to live. He starts doing tshuva. He starts davening properly. He starts learning with more intensity. The Shonan Bayis is better. The Benon Chavera is better. And the day goes into days, and the days are passing very, very quickly, Rabbi Yisrael. We've got a few days left to Yom Kippur. And we know that when Yom Kippur comes, that's it. The Shofar blows, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu separates again from us, that we won't know him until the following year. What desperation do we have? What crying does our neshama have in time of Ne'ilah? Rebbeinu Shleilam, don't put us back in that filthy pit again. Don't allow us to fall down there. And he gives another moshel, Dubna Maggid. And he says a moshel of a king had a beautiful daughter, her only daughter. And this daughter was set up in all different dates with all different kinds of noblemen and kings and princes, and nobody was good enough for her. One prince had a gambling addiction. Another prince was handicapped. Each one had a particular problem, and therefore nobody was good enough for this princess. And Nebuch, she's getting older, she wasn't getting married, time was ticking, time was running out, so the king decided to marry her off to any decent, hard-working, honest person she will meet. So, distant village, this farmer happens to turn up, and the guards haul him into the king, and the king says, "Yes, what's your job?" He says, "Sir, Lord." And he seems like a very nice person, looks like a very honest person. The king said, "Fine, I've got a fantastic proposition for you, my daughter." "Fantastic, thank you very much. You don't have to ask your parents." "No, I'm sure they'll be very happy with that." "Fine." They make a royal wedding, and he's dressed beautifully, she's dressed beautifully, fantastic. After the wedding, this farmer takes her back to the little hamlet, little village, and they live in the farmhouse. Little broken down, can't even farm, little cottage. The next day, he said, "Okay, work. We've got to get up early in the morning. We've got to milk the cows. We've got to get the eggs in from the chickens. We've got to milk the goats. We've got to start ploughing the ground for next year's season. We've got to start working. You know, we've got to earn ourselves a living." And this poor girl, she takes off her royal clothes and she starts wearing this clothes of a commoner, and her hands get blistered from the hard work. She's not used to it. At the end of the day, her back is breaking, and all she has to eat is some coarse bread, bit of water. And day after day, Nebuch, she's subjugated to this difficult work conditions. Her food is terrible, she starts getting thin, her hands start getting blistered and with warts. Nebuch, this poor girl, Nebuch, what she went through. And she was suffering, she cried every night, she remembered the good old days back home. One day, the royal messenger comes along and brings into this little hamlet a letter from the king. In 40 days time, the king is coming to visit. Wow! Can you imagine 40 days time? This is fantastic. But on the other hand, this is very, very scary. Look at this poor girl. This princess has turned into this bent, gnarled, sleep deprived, undernourished girl. What's the king going to say if I do such a thing? What's going to happen? What are you going to do? So he starts really working hard. So, you know what? Take a day off. I'll manage myself. And he starts working extra hard, and he starts selling a couple of chickens, and he brings extra food, and he starts giving her better food, and she starts eating better, and she starts getting a bit of colour back in her face, she starts sleeping a bit more, and he starts looking after her. And after 40 days she's back exactly to the way she was, very pretty, very well looked after, her back doesn't hurt her anymore, her hands are back to the original delicate self, and fine. The king come, and the house, oh, what they've done to that house, they've cleaned the house, they've scrubbed it, they got off all the dirt, all the cobwebs, the windows are gleaming, everything's spick and span, it's clean, it's well looked after, sparse, but very clean, well looked after. The king comes, sees his daughter there, her face radiant, the house clean, not like his palace, nice, everything looks very nice, and the king sits down with such pleasure, Baruch Hashem, Shepping Nachas, his daughter's well looked after. And the king talks to him, and the king talks to the daughter, and everything's going fine. The king stands up and says, "Okay, thank you very much, that's wonderful, lovely to see you, I'm leaving, I'm off." The daughter suddenly breaks into tears. "Said, Daddy, you can't go, you can't leave me here." He said, "What's the matter?" Nice working, hard working husband, a house. "Daddy, you can't he said, what do you want?" He said, "Daddy, everything looks fantastic, we know what the house really is. This house is all a facade. This is nothing. This is not our usual life. My usual life, I've got to wake up at 4:30 in the morning and feed the cows and start working on ploughing the fields and doing all the pruning and the weeding. And my hands are sore. My back is breaking. That's what my life is like. How can you leave me here? How can you leave me in such a place?" So the king turns with anger towards the son and says, "Is that true? Is that how you treat my daughter? Do you not know she's a princess? How dare you make her work hard? What right do you have to do such a thing? She's a princess. I married you off to a princess. You never know that? You knew that. How can you make her do such a thing?" So the son-in-law says, "My king," and he begins to cry. He says, "When you married me off to a princess, I had in mind that you're going to give me the lifestyle that comes with looking after a princess. I thought you'd give me a palace. I thought you'd give me servants. I thought you'd give me plenty of wealth in order to continue being able to finance the kind of luxury that this girl is brought up with. I never realized you'd have to just leave me the way I am and run my life and bring a princess in. You know, we have a life to run. What am I supposed to do? I've got to bring Parnassa in. I'm a busy man. I've got to put bread on the table. I can't afford to look after the princess the way I'm supposed to. That could be pshat. Ibn Maggid says that's pshat. Obviously, the 40 days is 40 days from Elul until Yom Kippur. And Rabbeinu Shlomo has given us a princess, has given us a neshama. He's given us a neshama. And the neshama's badly treated the holy. We treat the neshama very, very badly. We don't do enough mitzvahs. We do all the averus. And Nebuchadnezzar's neshama is being battered on all sides. Got to work hard. Got to work hard with what? With parnasa. And work hard with all the different things that she just wants to sit and learn and daven. That's all she wants. And it comes to the 40 days and we come to Yom Kippur. And we've done tshuva. And we looked after this princess. We've done what we're supposed to do. And Rabbeinu Shlomo looks at us and smiles and says, ah, Baruch Hashem, everything's fine. Then the neshama gives one desperate plea. Daddy, you can't leave us here. Today's now's Yom Kippur. Hashem, who are the kid? Your mama, she can feel that almost the wings sprouting out from your back. But already tomorrow, who knows what's going to be? I'm back to hard work. I'm back to the world of business. I'm back to Gashmias. Daddy can't leave me here. So Rabbi Yishlam says, do you not realize what Neshama is? Klal Yisrael, do not realize. So what do we say? Avinu Malkeinu. Avinu Malkeinu, we know what it means. We know what it means. You're the king. We know what you've given us. You know what Neshama is. But if you give us everything we need, if you give us Parnasa, if you give us a Chaim Tovim, if you give us a Refu Shleima, we thought we were going to be living in the kind of lifestyle that we could possibly look after the princess in the correct way with luxury and not have to worry. But look how many worries we have. Worries of Parnasa, worries of Chinuch of children, worries of Refuah, worries of Godus, Rebbeinu Shleilam. Of course, what do we expect? We've got to make a Parnasa, we've got to live a life where we have so many difficulties. How do you expect us to live? And Rebbeinu Shleilam, give us everything we need, because if you give us everything we need, then we could possibly live up to the expectations you have of treating the Neshama in the correct way. We can learn the way you're supposed to with Menuchas HaNefesh. We can daven with Achavas HaDas. That's what we're doing by Avinu Malkeinu Ne'ilah. We're not saying to Rebbeinu Shleilam, Rebbeinu Shleilam, give us Parnasa. Why? You want to be rich. Rebbeinu Shleilam, give us health. Why? You want to run the marathon. Rebbeinu Shleilam, you want to look after the Neshama. We want to do it the same Shemayim. At this particular stage, the Neshama is begging you, don't leave us here. And you're telling us, why are you abusing this Neshama? At this stage, I'm telling you, Rebbeinu Shleilam, we're not trying Chas V'Shalom to do anything that is going against what Neshama wants. It's just partial because we are limited by the financial side, by the worries that we have, and therefore, Avinu Malkeinu, when you go through a whole list of those things that are required in order to look after the Neshama in the correct way. I would like to just work on one particular point. I think it's an old marshal they bring back from the time of the beaver. It's an old marshal we talked about here in Yeshiva already. Some people cry on the Ila because it's desperation. Voyinshan, don't put us back in the pit. Don't put us back in a position of not being close to you. And that is very, very noble. Some people daven, Rebbeinu Shleilam, give us everything we need in order that we shall have a closeness to you. Fantastic. Some people cry like the beaver cries. Now the beaver? The beaver is a very, very stupid animal. It basically makes a line from one place to the other, and it does not deviate from that line, from its path. Even if the beaver actually notices there's a hole in its path, a trap, he'll carry on going exactly the same path and he'll fall in to the pit. But what does a beaver do before he falls into the pit? He knows very well he's going to fall into the pit. You know what he does? He begins to cry. And he cries and he cries and he cries because he knows he's going to fall into that pit. And they know, we know what he does next? He falls right into the pit. Bala Musa used to say, or we dip into that beaver. Rebbein Shalom, we cry, Rebbein Shalom, the Ela, help us, help us. What are we? Are we a beaver? Are we standing by the pit crying because we know by tonight we're going to fall in again? We're going to be exactly the same position? Do you know what anticlimax it was? I think it's the Avla Godel. And one of the things I appreciate Man Rosh Hashiva for, Zeich Yisad of Kodesh Yivrocha, was the fact that he pushed this home so hard. People work themselves up to levels of Aseres Yimei Tshuva, of Rosh Hashanah, of Yom Kippur, of Ne'ilah, and then an hour after Ne'ilah, they're on the way to the airport. And they're faced with all the terrible Nisyonos at the airport. With the worst of the worst, and on the plane, and everything. They're taken from the highest roof and thrown down to the lowest levels. Mashiach Shiva, Zeich Tzadik Yivracha, would not allow the Borchim to leave until the next morning. The next morning, after morning Seder, there was a Seder the next morning, there was part of the Yeshiva that night, and afterwards you could go. You broke the fall. One falls off Yom Kippur. To believe for one second I was going to be in the same level as Hashem Hu Alekim. That feeling of Dveikus to Rebbein Shalom. That noble feeling of Rebbein Shalom, please don't leave us here in this filthy goof. Bring us close to you. To have that same feeling 3 months down the line, or even 2 days down the line, is asking a lot. But there's two ideas I want to bring through for Ramesha. That Be'ez Hashem will help us focus on this year and make a little bit different. That this year should not be the same as last year. Ramesha says, and these are both delicate ideas, okay? Ramesha says, Lo b'chesed v'lo b'maisim b'onu l'fanecho. Rabbi Yishev Kanti, not with chesed and not with maisim. Have you ever thought, what does it mean, Lo b'chesed v'lo b'maisim? Not with chesed and not with maisim. What does that mean? So Lo b'maisim, I can understand, and not with actions, not with deeds. What does it mean, Lo b'chesed v'lo b'maisim? Isn't chesed a maisa? Isn't maisim, doesn't maisim incorporate chesed? What's loy bechesed v'loy b'maisim? What does that mean? So Ramesha says a very, very important thing. So listen to this, Rabbi. This can change your life. Okay? And it's an extremely, extremely powerful vote. And it's good and it's terrible. Okay? I mean, it worked out advantage and disadvantage. Ramesha based on the Apostle. The Apostle says, Im kesef talves ami. Im kesef talves ami means, if you want to lend money to your nation. Now, we know, we've learnt it in Yeshiva, Avas Chesed, the Chofetz Chaim brings down many, many mitzvahs, the chiyuvim of lending somebody money, and the chesaron and the munim betochim, if you don't lend somebody money, it's chiyuvim to lend somebody money. What's Mishat? Im kesef talves ami, if you lend money. If, which means it's reshus. No, say, the chiyuv of lending somebody money, lend money and then don't do ribbis. What is the idea im kesetav? What's the idea of working with rishus? What's the idea of working with the mitzvah if it's rishus then it's really chayva? And he said further, we find another place in Torah, it says by Tzadok, it says, do not strengthen your heart. When somebody asks you for money, do not strengthen your heart. Do not hold back your hand. What are those two parts? Loi sa'ame says the vavcho, and loi sikpoit says yodcho. What are those two mitzvahs? Says Ramesh like this, that there are two completely different parts of this mitzvah. When it comes to lending somebody money, there's an action of lending him money. Going to the bank, or writing him a check, or giving him a transfer. That is an action of lending money. And that's the Torah says, is one part of the mitzvah. The another part of the mitzvah is the rishus part. What does that mean? It means that when a person is offered up a mitzvah ben odom lechaveiro, not ben odom lemokim, a mitzvah ben odom lechaveiro, a person should not do the mitzvah because that is what I have to do. I have no choice in whatsoever. The Torah says I have to do it, I have to do it. Kof olav shade. When a person does ben odom lechaveiro, he should do it because that is what he wants to do. Because that is for him is reshus. That is his pleasure. That is what he likes doing. not because the Torah says you have to do it. When a person does a mitzvah, ben odom lechaveroi, and by somehow he feels a tremendous joy, the tremendous ahavah, the tremendous easiness. Now, I can have 50 people for my Shabbos lunch. I love it! Right? That person is, besides doing the ma'aseh of achnosas orchim in a grand scale, the fact that he enjoys doing it is another part of the mitzvah. Ben odom lechaveroi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu requires not only that you do the action, but you make yourself have the good nature to enjoy doing the action, that you should want to do the chesed. In Kesel Talbes Ami is referring to the chelik of wanting to do the chesed. Don't look at it as if it's chayva. Of course it's chayva. But when you do the action, you should not look at it as if, oi, what can I do? I've got to lend my neighbor money. I want to! That's my rotzen! And therefore it should not look as if it's even chayva, it's rishus. When it comes to tzedakah, there's two parts of tzedakah. Lezvei sa'amit says levavcha, which means the nature of you should not hold your heart. You should want to give tzedakah. You should have a passion to give tzedakah. You should be delighted to give tzedakah. That is one part. The Sama says the Bobcha, don't hold back your heart. Make yourself good natured. Make yourself generous. And there's another part of the Sikbe says Yodcha means that action. Do not actually restrain from actually giving over the money. Says Ramesha, a person can actually give tzedakah. And he can actually do the pu'ula of actually writing out a big generous check. But if it hurts, if it's like pulling off a limb, then to him he'll not fulfill one part of the mitzvah. I'm not sure who it was. I think it was the Tzanzerov. The Tzanzerov was once sitting benching in his own way, like the Tzanzerov, the Divachim used to bench. And one Talmud said to him, Rebbe, how dare you say lo yedei matnas bos avodom lo yedei halva osom? Yeah. Give me panos, learn the matnas boss of Adam. Don't be a matnas boss of Adam. Rebbe, I never knew you had shares. I never knew you were a property manager. I never knew you worked in different stores or factories. You basically have your panos based on what chassidim give you for brachas. It's all based on matonis. So I said, learn the matnas boss of Adam. Rebbe Yishlein, don't give it matnas boss of Adam. That's your panasa. Thank you, Boyan Shon, for it and finish. Move on. You don't have any other option. So he said, you know what? The Sam Chassidim would come and they're delighted to give the bracha, the Rebbe a present. Delighted. Schuss, the Rebbe should get a present. Ah, geschmack, the Rebbe will take that money, use it for himself, for his family, for the Aniyim. He's only too happy. You get some people who never got somebody ill at home, you've got to go to the Rebbe for a bracha. You can't come empty handed. So Nebuch, what can you do? You've got to write a check. So you write a check, you give it to the Rebbe. So the Rebbe says, Rabbi Yisrael, I ask you, loy lidei matnas bos of Adam. Don't give me money or those people that actually feel they're giving a matnas bos of Adam. They're actually chopping off a finger to give to me. Give it to those people who feel generous. Some people find it so hard to give something away, it's mamash as if they're chopping off a finger. If they do the mitzvah, they've done a tremendous mitzvah. There's no doubt about it. The part of the Fumtzara Agra, of the mitzvah of tzedakah itself is great. But there's one chedek of that mitzvah that they're missing. And that is the rotzen to do the mitzvah, the tshuka, the wish, the desire to give the mitzvah. Says Ramesh, if you don't have that desire, you're missing that part of the mitzvah. And he said on the other side as well, he says somebody who doesn't have the money, he can't write out a check, but he really wants to. He really wants to. Somebody comes to him and says it's a case of Achnosas Kala and Nebuch, this person doesn't have Panosa and his daughter's getting married and he wants to write a check, he just doesn't have the money in the bank. What's he supposed to do? But he really wants to, he gets that mitzvah. He gets a mitzvah of Lisa'amit says the Vavcha. He may not have the mitzvah of Lisikbe says Yotcha, but Lisa'amit says Vavcha he has. Says Ramesha, how many opportunities we have to double the mitzvahs we have if we just make ourselves better and nicer people. If we're not so tight, We're not so careful with our money. We're not so careful with being principled. You know, standing by a principle. This person owes me money. I'm willing to do anything to make the person pay me. Let it go. Step back. Give way. So the person, big deal. You live longer. Feel good. Feel happy. Feel generous. Work on your generosity. Be happy to give other people. And that can change not only the quality of the action, or that you're actually doing the mitzvah now, you don't feel it's so hard to do it. But the very other part of the mitzvah, of being a better person, which is really what Bein Shana wants you to do lechatchila, that can change your whole year completely. You become a different person. Don't find it so hard. It's all Bein Shana's money anyway. And if Bein Shana give you more money if you do the right things with it, let go. Let go. Let the other person have a daya. You stand by your daya. I'm always right, then tzfufim is very tight. Mishtachavim, if you bow down, the other person is also right. Vochim is plenty of space. You live better, and you have a better ruchnis and gashmis. One more thing. That's been Adon L'Chaveiro. Ben Adon L'Mokim, I just want to finish off very quickly. Rav Moshe says, if you look in the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, most of Avodas Yom HaKippurim is based on Tumas Mikdosh of Kedosho. The Tumah that a person did B'Shoigig in a base Mikdosh, and did with the Kalim. Why is there so much emphasis on that? And not on other things, number one. Number two, ask Moshe Rabbeinu, what's the connection between Achrei Mois, Shnei Bnei Aaron, and Avodas Yom HaKippurim? Achrei Mois and Aaron, what's the connection? So he says very beautifully. He says, for a person to be a ganav, for a person to do an action Rachman Litzlan of Loshen Hora, a person with a little bit of Yerushalayim, there's a certain element there of pang, of guilt, and he doesn't feel good with what he's doing. And it's very easy for him to do charata. It's very easy for him to have charata. And you know, Rabbi Shain, even doing the action itself, a Rosh is Malem charata, a Rosh has charata the whole time, even the action itself is very easy for him to do tshuva. He said, when is it difficult to do tshuva, Rabbi Shain? Listen to this carefully. When you think you're doing something right. When I'm working in a base of Mikdosh, and I'm working with a Kli HaKodesh, and I'm working doing Ratzon Hashem, I think, but I have not focused on what is real Ratzon Hashem, am I doing it absolutely correctly? Then for that person to do tshuva, it's very, very difficult. When it's Tumah Smikdosh or Kadosh, you're working in the base of Mikdosh, by doing something but Tumah, you haven't learned the halachas properly, then to come along and say to you, hey, you're doing something wrong, you're doing an Issa, what are you talking about? I'm Kodesh. Says Rav Moshe, the biggest avla the Reform did to Klal Yisrael is to pretend that there's some Kedusha in the service they have to Avodas Hashem. If they would take anything spiritual, the prayers, out of Reform Jewry, then how many people will follow this? The richest they have is they pretend that this is something that is spiritual. That's what Rabbeinu Shonan wants. Rachman Islam Jews for Jay. They don't put a galach up there with a big yozel around his neck. What do? They put up there a guy with a couple, and you start talking about Torah, and about Moshe, and about Yeshua. You sprinkle it with a lot of Yiddishkeit, and a person doesn't even know the difference. To get a person to draw them out of Jews for Jay is much, much, much more difficult than drawing a person out of Hare Kishka. Much more difficult, because they don't see the fault, they don't see the problem. Says Rav Moshe, what we have to focus on Yom Kippur is more than the Averis itself. It's wrong hashgafas. It's I have decided that I am this. I am going to do that. I'm an independent thinker. I don't ask Gedolim Shailas. I believe that's what you should be doing as a matter of principle. How many Meshuganas Nebuch, Rachman al-Islam, are so close to Yiddishkeit? They're so close to Yiddishkeit, but they're so far because they're poshut missing something. They're missing one of Yud Gimel Ikrim. They're missing what it means to be close to Rabbeinu Shleilam, of Dveikus to Rabbeinu Shleilam, in real terms, the way the Torah is mechayev them. And they're so close, yet they're so far. To get them out of that level, to wake them up, to shake them up and say, hey, wake up, you're doing something wrong, that takes Gedolim. That takes Das Torah. That takes coming close to the Gedolim. That takes somebody you've got to work with. Shimush Melech HaChomim, that's when you become close. Says Rav Moshe, the main Avodah Yom Kippurim is Tumas Mikdash HaKadoshah. Not looking so much at Al Chet for Yetzirah. That Yetzirah, when it's certain things like eating Chazer, you know very well you're not going to eat Chazer again. Leave it, you know, fine. What the Yetzirah is a mitzvah to speak Lashon Hara in that person. Why? Because he's a kofer. Maybe he's not. Maybe you just hate him. Maybe you're Baal Machlokes. Maybe the problem is with you. No, it's a mitzvah. You have to do tshuva on those mitzvahs. Those things that you believe is a mitzvah. Those things that you really need to die for, because you believe that's really important, think about them over again. I think I said last week, you share one of the somebody came to a Rebbe, and he said to the Rebbe, somebody's walking through my field. as a mitzvah to kill him. It's a mitzvah to kill him. He's v'chayiv misa. As the Rebbe said, if you really think it's a mitzvah, put in the gatel and say, hinni muchan mazum l'kayim mitzvah sasei of hariga. Let's see how far you go. But the problem is, some people will say hinni muchan mazum, and they will wear the gatel, and they will kill somebody because it's a shem shemayim. To get out of these wrong hashkofas, the only way to do it is to be mevatel yourself, ben odom mokim as well, and to go to a godel, to go to Talmud Chacham and say, am I doing the right thing? That is achramayis shnei bnei Aaron. The gedoy le'olam, shnei bnei Aaron, misa sadikim. We're supposed to cry. A person who cries at achramayis shnei bnei Aaron has a kapara. The misa sadikim helps us appreciate who the sadikim are, helps us grab on to the gedolim more. And therefore, if you want to work on the ila, that it should be a meaningful experience. It shouldn't be a beaver standing by this whole crying. It shouldn't be standing by shame and desperation. Oi! Oi, what's going to happen to me? My soul is going to go back into this dark pit. We stand Rabbi Yishayim and we say, Rabbi Yishayim and Ila, give us everything we need in order to look after, even on Shabbos, because it's all a Shem Shemayim, to look after our Neshama. We're going to work when Adam Lechaveiro to Mivat a little bit more, to make ourselves better people next year. To become good, besides doing good actions, to actually become good and enjoy doing the good things. And Ben Adam Lechaveiro, Ben Adam Lechaveiro as well, to come close to Rabbi Yishayim, to leave behind the shitters of apikorsus, the shitters of amaratus that pulls us along the wrong direction, connect to people who have das teira, people who have connection to Rebbein Shem through Messiah, real Messiah, and the Ezra Shem, we shall all be zeicha to Gemach Hasima Teva.